The first reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. Jesus sends out the 12. When Jesus has called the 12 together, he had gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. The second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. May God bless these readings from his holy word.
Being sent out with one focus in mind, being clear about our prospects, about our mission, about what we're focusing on. It needs sometimes a little bit of decluttering of everything else that is around us. And last week, as some of us decluttered the area under the stage behind you, we didn't find anything too exciting or too different or too unusual. But it was a wonderful feeling at the end to see some space under there and to realise that we could find what it was that we needed and knew what was there to start off with. Lots of space has been left and we can actually see the floor and the ground under the stage. And of course, perhaps you find in your house when you've just done that, there's a great temptation to think, well, what can I put in there? What can we add to this? What can we store? What can we hide away? What can we put in a safe place? But decluttering, of course, is not simply to make space for more stuff. Sometimes decluttering is to make space for more thought and more thinking and more purpose for what is there and what we do see in front of us. Decluttering our minds is one thing, but decluttering our faith too is important. To get away from all the things that perhaps are feeding in to what we should be doing and what we must be doing, to clear something away and to realize that why we do these things and why they are there in the first place is because of God's love for us, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ for all people, and because the Holy Spirit tells us that we must be continually not just sweeping through our own hearts in faith and fresh air, but sweeping through our minds and our cobwebs that are there too, of our thinking and our ways of promoting the faith. Being sent out by Jesus sending out his disciples into the villages around was a mission. It was a mission with a very clear focus. Do not take anything with you. Nothing for yourself at all. No bag, no tunic, no bread, no staff, nothing. Don't take anything to support yourself. Go only with that in mind that will help others, to heal them, to tell them of God's love, to let them know the prospects that are ahead of them. If we can go without taking ourselves, how wonderful will that be? Mike and Anne are going to Rwanda in just 4 weeks. And there is a collection in the next 2 weeks if you want to help them. Not help them pay for what they're doing. Not help them to pay for how they will be subsisted on at that time. But to help them to buy games and toys to take to families, to children who have absolutely nothing. To help them to take to other people those things. But they are only able to do that because of their own decision to go in faith, to go in love, to meet people face to face, and to eat and to live and to be as their host families are, and not to take the things of the West and the things that are important to us, but rather to realize what is important to all of us, which is love and relationship and care. Because when the disciples went out with nothing in their hands, they came back with so many stories to tell and so much love in their hearts that they were almost bursting. They couldn't wait to tell Jesus of all the things that had happened and all the things that they had seen. Things that they had seen not by their own power, but through Christ Jesus and his Holy Spirit. When Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, he was saying, do we have to commend ourselves again? Is it us that we're commending? Do you want us letters of recommendation to tell you about who I am? If you can trust me, what I have done in my life, what my resume is, what my references might be? No. What we go with and what we come with, as Paul did, is the gospel of Christ Jesus. Is the faith that he brings to us. Is the love of a God, a creator, who accepts and includes all people. And he is God, he can do that. We find it more difficult. But he is a God who loves each and every one and who is open to each and every one. When we do that and when we have that focus in our hearts, the world opens up, not just for us, but for everyone else around us too. Do not take anything with you. It wasn't give away your possessions, because in fact, they would go back to their extra tunic. They would go back to their bread and their bag. They would go back to whatever it was they had left at home. But when we go out to tell others about God's love, it's not us that we preach. It's not about us and our trust. It is about God, about Jesus, about faith. And that might seem too obvious to speak about in a church, in a sermon, in worship. But it is for us to truly discover and discover again who it is we follow, why we follow him, and what it means. It is for us again and again to consider, as we come to the table, to receive from him what it is that we are being blessed with. And yes, they are tangible signs of his invisible grace. The bread and the wine which we will share and pass hand to hand are visible signs of him being with us. But it is not the visible that will inflame and inspire our hearts. It's not the visible that will give us courage to speak out. It is not the visible that will give us courage to stand up when things around us aren't quite right. It is not the visible that will help us to maintain our place in faith and to preach and to tell and to speak of the gospel. It is the invisible grace and mercy and love that God floods into our lives which will help us to be able to stand and stand tall, to hold our heads up and to stay strong in faith. The table is open to absolutely everyone, for God includes everyone and accepts everyone. But even as we heard when Jesus sent out his disciples to the villages round about, to the Jews, he said, if you're not accepted, if they're not welcome, then just leave. Shake the dust off your feet and leave, because there is work for you to do elsewhere. We are but human beings. We are not God. We are but human beings who can get through to some but not others. We are not God. We are, however, a family, and we are a family and a mix of gifts and abilities and able to reach different people. But not one of us will be able to reach all. Only if we are truly willing to get out and to move and to come and say hello to folk will we even know if that is acceptable or not. And I know that even when our young children wander around the church and come and say hello and meet us, some will be open and welcoming and say, thank God we have children in our church. And others will wonder why they're there. I don't need to tell you my view on that. But I know some of you will tell me your view on it as well. We say they are the future. They are the present. We say that they will help take the faith forward. They are helping to take the faith forward even now. We say that other people are folk we can't get on with or can get on with. That will be the same no matter who we are, where we are, how we are. But we are a family who can work together. We are a family who can be together. And we are a family who are included in this table. No matter who we are, our God is greater. No matter how we behave, our God is greater. No matter what we say in the gospel, our God is greater. And no matter whatever is going on in our minds and our hearts and our lives and the clutter that might be there, God is greater and clearer and will give us the vision that we need to have. We need not go to Rwanda to meet people who are in need. We need not go to Malawi to meet our friends and our twinning and people who are in need. But we need to go somewhere and we need to open our eyes to what is around us. And we need to open our arms to those who will come for us, to our words, to our way of expressing the gospel and leave others to express it in different ways, to attract different people, to make it one family, a universal global family of faith and peace and grace and joy. What brings joy to one person will not bring joy to another. What brings peace to one person will not bring peace to another. But we share our peace as we did at the gala yesterday, and God shares his peace here today. A peace that sometimes really has to cut through an awful lot of stuff to get to us. And how much more help would we be to God if we helped clear that stuff first? If we began to declutter our hearts and minds and to see that we don't recommend ourselves either, but we recommend that people meet Jesus. We recommend that people meet God in their lives. We recommend that they are open to him in some way, in some form, to learn of him. And it won't always be from us, but it just might be today. Decluttering. Being able to see is also a big thing in life. But decluttering and hearing and looking and seeing. At the end of that gospel passage, we hear that Herod was wondering, who is this? Not the disciples. Who is this? The God, the Christ, who sends his disciples out and who has such effect. It can't be Elijah. It can't be John the Baptist because I cut his head off. Who is this? And Herod decided that he wanted to meet this Jesus. Can we decide that we want to meet this Jesus today? Can we decide to stand aside and not be the focus in life, but let someone else be seen? Let someone else who is endearing and cuter and wiser and smarter be seen? Will you recognize that when you see it? Or will it not be what you expect? Will not be what you think should be happening? Will you think this is too dangerous or too silly or too simplistic or too childish? Or will you see that hand in hand we can make a difference? And hand to hand, as we share bread and wine, this world will be changed. Can you see differently in a different perspective from a different view? And can you hear Jesus send you out? Not to those who don't want to hear, not to those with whom you can't get on, but to those who will see you, hear you, understand you, and get from you the gospel that Christ has put in your heart. Herod wanted to meet him. Do we? I think we do, no matter where in our faith journey we are. And I think we can, no matter where in our faith journey we are. He comes to hold out his hands to you. Can you hold out your hands? Hands that are empty. Hands that are ready to receive. Hands that are ready to help, to give someone a lift up, to steady them on their way. Can you stretch out your hands and be the one to whom others will come for help? Can you be the one who will return to Jesus day by day and evening by evening and morning by morning to tell him of the joy and wonder that you have had that day because you have met people, you have spoken with people, you've had an opportunity to be with that person and to speak of things that are deeper than the superficial, that are more wonderful than anything else, and to realize that spring has come, that we have a future with Sophia, with our children, with everyone. We are of an age. It's time we came of age. It's time we stood up, and it's time we said, our focus is Jesus Christ. Our focus is faith. And we will be his church. We will. Not perfect. In any form or any way will we be perfect. But we will be his. Because we are his. Come and meet him. Come and offer him all you have and all you are. Stand in all your weakness, my weakness. And all my problems and difficulties and failures and yours, give to him all that we have and ask him to come, to give and to bless.